traditions in the great outdoors.
Welcome to Ozark Traditions TV podcast, a place where outdoor topics are discussed. Now sit back as today's host brings you the outdoors inside.
Ozark Traditions in the great outdoors.
All right, guys, welcome back to another Ozark Traditions TV podcast. I'm TJ. I'm here with Matt and Justin. Tonight, we're just going to talk. We're just going to get on here and kind of talk a little bit. We don't have a guest for tonight, so you guys are just going to have to listen to our lovely voices.
Yeah, we're without the genius tonight. So.
Yeah, me and Matt's running the board tonight, so God help us all. But we got Justin over here on the FaceTime. We're going to try that tonight, too. We can actually see him. So we're going to give that a shot, too. But anyways.
Yeah, so now he's kind of to your left.
Yeah, I used to always think he was on my right. Now you're to my left. It's throwing me off.
Well, I am on your right if I'm looking.
Right. But anyhow, Justin, what have you been up to this week, man? I ain't talked to you in 5 days.
I have not been doing nothing but farming.
Yeah. Well, the hunting season for a lot of people was...
Yeah, I had to haul hay over the weekend and do some farm work. So no hunting for me.
Yeah.
2 weeks in a row.
Well, it was hot this weekend. I don't think you missed out on much.
It was hot.
Yeah, so. I did. They were everywhere.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And it don't get no better. I don't get a hunt this weekend either because we got a Christmas party to go to.
We get to hunt this weekend.
Yep.
We're actually going on a deer camp this weekend, me and Matt and a couple buddies
of ours. Like a full-blown
deer camp. Taking the camper. We got drawled for a managed deer hunt in St. Francis State Park, which is in Bon Terre, Missouri. About, what'd you say, 3 hours from here?
3 hours east of us.
Straight east. Right over by the
river. Wait a minute. How many cases of moon pies did you buy?
None. I ain't bought nothing. I do gotta start packing.
I got some. I'll bring them.
Yeah. But we're going to go over there. We got drawled for a rifle hunt, which is going to be cool. We get to kill 3 deer.
Well, you get to kill 2 does.
2 does, and then you can shoot a buck, or you can shoot another doe, whatever you want to do. Right. But you can't shoot your buck until you kill your 2 does, which is kind of where my rant's going to come from today. So, and I've talked about this in other podcasts, but I'm really going to lay into them here, I feel like.
Let them have it.
We do these things. They're called managed deer hunts. It's to manage the deer herd because the deer herd gets too populated. There you got these state parks where there's no hunting allowed, and there's a whole bunch of deer there. So they want to thin the deer herd down. Great.
What'd they say? Been 15 years?
15 years since this state park's been hunted legally. And so they want to have all these deer killed. Which is great. I think it's a great idea. That's how you got to do it. You need to have, there's 60 guys that drawled for this. So, and there we all get 3 tags apiece. So there can be a lot of deer killed right there. But here's the kicker.
There's always a catch.
Aggravates me is they throw a bunch of regulations on it. It's like, okay, they give you the buck tag to try to bait you in to come do these hunts. But then they make you shoot 2 does before you can shoot your buck, which, okay, fine. But then they put a 4-point restriction on the buck. And I don't get that. Like, this is a managed deer hunt. You're wanting these deer killed. First of all, in my opinion, it should be 3 deer tags. You get 3 any deer tags. If you can shoot 350-inch bucks, that's awesome.
Right.
If you want to shoot 3 spikes, whatever. That's 3 less deer that was out there running around. So... I just don't understand it, and we've talked to a couple game wardens about it, and it's really not the MDC that does this.
It's mainly the Missouri State Park people.
Which,
and from what I've gathered and learned or whatever, that is specific to each park.
Right.
Each park sets forth their own guidelines.
Yeah. Yesterday, I called the state park. Because I wanted to check in on how our camping situation was, which just sounds really good. They've got electric sites. We've still got electric. We won't have water, but my camper has a 200-gallon water tank on it, so should be good. But they're going to have spots where we can camp, so that's good. The guy was really helpful. He said, if you guys kill any deer and need help getting them out, come up to the office, talk to us. We'll try to help you get your deer out, whatever. So that seemed like that's working out pretty good. But the Bennett Springs one was kind of just the access they had. They had units. Okay, so we had to hunt in units. And the units had terrible access to get to some. The one we had was absolutely garbage.
Well,
we had to walk through another unit to get to that.
So we had to walk through these poor guys' deer hunting to get to our unit.
Yeah.
So, you know, say you walk all the way back there to your unit and then you forgot something or, you know, whatever, and you got to go back to the truck. Well, now you got to walk back across somebody else's unit that's trying to deer hunt, which that's not fair to them.
No.
You know,
just the way they had that whole thing set up was just if there's anybody that works there at Bennett Springs, I'm not dogging you or nothing, but you guys should have done that a little different.
Well, at least this one at Bonterre at St. Francis, at least there's no units.
Yeah, it's just the whole area. They're going to shut the guy told me that when we get there, there's gates. Every road that goes into the state park has a gate. They're going to lock the gates and it's only going to be opened for guys with the tag that we got to have in our truck window. So once you get in there, there's nobody else in there but people hunting.
Right.
So they said there's like a 100-yard buffer around the campground, and then there's another river access or a boat access or something down by the river. They're not going to let you hunt that. But everything else is fair game. And I talked to the guy, and it was funny. I said, well, have you seen any deer? And he goes, oh, yeah, which he didn't sound really like a deer hunter. But he's like, yeah, I shut the gates every night. I got to go around and shut all the gates. He said, I usually see between, you know, like 30, 40 deer a night shutting the gates. And I mean, this thing's 2,600 acres is what he told me. Or the part that we get to hunt's 2,600. So it's plenty big enough.
Yeah.
And like I told, like we said earlier, it hadn't been hunted in 15 years is what he told me yesterday. And I was like, well, you know, cause we get a buck tag on this deal. I mean, I'm not putting a lot of thought into it. But, you know, you do get one. So, you know, if the stars line, you kill you a couple does that first morning, you can hunt a big buck the rest of the time if you want to. And I was like, well, have you seen any big bucks? And he's like, well, I really don't know what a big buck. You know, I've seen some with really big horns. Is that what you mean? And I'm like, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
that's the goal.
And I was like, well, you know, how many points do you think they had? Like 8, 6, you know. He goes, oh, I counted 13 on one time. And I'm like, okay, that's all I needed to hear. So apparently there's some good bucks running around down in there. So that's exciting, which that reminds me, I went tonight. I got to throw this in there. I went doe hunting tonight. It's doe season here in Missouri, or antlerless rifle season. And I got a real good buddy of mine, Dave Bowery, give me a muzzleloader. Old style. I say old style. It's got the hammer.
It's cap and ball gun.
Cap and ball. It's got the no scope, none of that stuff. I thought, you know what, I'm going to kill a deer with that. He's been aggravating me about it. So I go down in this field. I've hunted this field 25 times since rifle season and not seen a buck in it. But there's always some does down there. Well, I seen one buck, a little 8-pointer me and Drakey got close to the other night. But so I thought, well, I'm just going to go down there and hunt. There's no cows down there anymore, so that's good because I hate cows. And I get down there, and I'm sitting there, and I had a couple does walked out in the far end of the field, and I'm watching them. And then, I don't know, it got about 4:45, and I look, and there's that little 8-point buck that me and Drake seen. He come walking out. I thought, well, that buck's still around, you know. And then right behind him is another one. And, I mean, it's a nice deer. I showed it to Matt.
He's a good one.
A very hard one to not shoot. Probably would shoot, actually. And I'm watching him, and I'm filming him, and I'm like, God dang, you know, that's a pretty nice deer. And then right behind him is a real, I mean, for sure shooter. I mean, I'm 800 yards from these deer, and that one walked out, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'd shoot that deer. And then there was like three other bucks come out there. I go out there and try to shoot a doe. I haven't seen a buck out there in a month. And tonight, they just piled in there. So I was all excited. I'm like, well, tomorrow night, I'm going to jump up in there with my bow and go bow hunting. And then we got a Christmas thing. At the school.
Christmas
program at the school tomorrow night. So,
which should be action packed.
Yeah, I can't wait. It'll be good. But anyway, so that I don't get to hunt, but we're going on the managed hunt. We're hooking up Friday morning, taking off. Take us about 3 hours to get there. So we're excited about that. But
which way are you guys going down here?
I have no idea. Whatever the GPS tells me, most likely.
We're going to go I-44.
Yeah.
Up to like...
Sullivan or something, and then you hang a right.
Yeah, well, you'll get on, I believe, is it...
You're gonna go through Cuba and, yeah, Cuba, yeah, and down that way, the, yep, back roads.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the best way to go. That's a good road.
So you remember the big camper, mm-hmm, that I had?
Mm-hmm.
I had this ginormous fifth-wheel camper I bought years ago. The one that the roof leaked in.
Yeah.
You remember it.
This is deer camp.
And that's where I bought it from.
Oh, from Bonterre?
Yeah, like just south of there, little ways or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, them roads are awesome.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited to drag that thing all the way down there, but...
I took my big truck down one about 2 months ago.
Yeah. It's a good time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, but...
Luckily, my camper is not an absolute giant camper.
Now, is Noble bringing his camper too?
Or? No, we're all just staying in mine.
It's gonna be a lot of.
So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go buy some earplugs.
Oh, yeah.
Because 75% of the guys in that camper snore. They may not know it, but I know it because I've had to try to sleep with all of them in the same room.
Do I snore?
Yeah, all of you. Damn. Every one of you. My dad is the worst. So, I'm going to buy some earplugs, because here's the deal. If you're not first, you're last in the falling asleep department. So, if you don't fall asleep first, you won't go to sleep, because everybody else snores so bad. It ain't even funny. Like, so, we got this wild idea one year, me, my dad, Kyle Amkins, and baby Austin. The night before opening day of duck season, we were going to go camp out on the river, or the lake, actually. That way, we were there first. There was an island, we can camp on it, because it was a really good spot and it gets a lot of hunting pressure. So me, my dad, Kyle, we all go out there and we pack up this tent and get her all set up and build us a nice fire. We're all, you know, having a couple of cold ones and having a good time, whatnot. And it gets dark and everybody's like, well, I'm going to go to bed. I'm like, all right. So they're all laying in there going to bed and I'm laying there and they start snoring. I'm talking, guys, this, like, the dog was snoring. Everybody but me was sleeping. It's like 2:00 in the morning, and I'm like, oh my God. So I'm like, well, I'll just go sit out by the fire. Well, I go out there, and I kind of fall asleep for a while, and the fire goes out. So I'm freezing to death, and I'm like, well, I'm going back to get my sleeping bag. Well, I get in there, and it's just, they're fighting each other at this point. Like, it's a battle. And I'm like, I can't sleep. So I just got up and went and put all the duck decoys out at about 3:00 in the morning, which is a good thing I did. This is the craziest thing. I get out there, it's 3:00 in the morning, I'm putting these decoys up, and I just get the last one thrown out about 3:45, and I got back over to the camp, and I hear a John boat coming, and this old boy was coming in there to set up. I mean, he had everybody beat, and he come around the corner, and he's seen us, and he said a couple words that we won't repeat on here, but he was not a very happy guy, because he just knew he had that spot, you know, because he lived right there, so that's why we had to get there so early, because he had a dock. And he kept his boat in the dock. Well, he would see us driving down in our truck. So he'd just run down, get in his John boat, and go get in the spot. Well, we figured that out because he'd always beat us there. So that night before, we went and camped and threw him for a loop. And I haven't hunted it since. So I don't know if he still gets up at 2:00 in the morning to go.
I hope he does.
Me too. We got our spot and we hunted. It was a pretty good time, but. The things that I've done duck hunting is just, I don't know if any of the listeners here, any of you are waterfowl hunters. I'm sure there's a few out there. They're very few and far between, but there's people that's tried it. And like I've took people and they're like, well, what do you think? I was like, here's the deal with duck hunting. You're either going to love it and you're going to be hooked for life and you're going to want to go, or you're never going to go again. There's no in between on that, you know. Which, Matt, you always had a good time hunting and stuff. It's just, yeah, the time is what gets you. But there's a lot of people that I've taken. Like, we get back to the truck, and I'm like, well, what'd you think? And they're like, yeah, it was fun. I'm like, well, you going again? You know, I got some. I was like, okay.
Yeah, they ain't never going again.
Because here's the deal. There's 2 or 3 guarantees in duck hunting. You're going to get wet, you're going to get cold, and you're going to get muddy. That's just all 3 of them are a guarantee. Nothing else is guaranteed, not even getting home.
I can vouch for that.
I've never been duck hunting.
Well, you should try it. I'll take you. Here's the deal.
I need to go.
You got to buy a federal duck stamp. You got to buy a small games license of migratory bird, and then you got to shoot steel shot. That's it. You're only allowed steel shot. You're going to want a pair of waders and some warm clothes. Pair of gloves that, if they get wet.
I've got everything to go duck hunting.
You're going to want two pairs of gloves.
Yeah, because you're going to get one pair wet. You're going to want to have that extra pair.
Yeah.
I've been on duck hunts where I had to give $50 for a pair of jersey gloves.
Oh, yeah.
Because
cash money.
Because your hands are just freezing off and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, you're out there.
I got a brand new set of waders. I've got 3 shotguns, no federal stamp, but that's easy to get.
Mm-hmm.
What much more do I need? I got all kinds of gloves.
Just come on.
Pile up. All we got to do is go find a mud puddle somewhere. It honestly, guys, anybody that hasn't duck hunted, it's when it's good, it's good. Now,
well, you know what though? This is me for hunting, period. You know, when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's bad. It's always good for me.
Right.
I enjoy just getting out there and doing it, you know.
I guess the problem that with duck hunting is it's not comfortable. I mean, yeah, you can hunt places. You see these guys on TikTok and stuff will have these pit blinds and stuff, and you go down in it, and they've got recliners lined up and TVs and heaters. Yeah, that's awesome.
But oh, I'm out if we don't have that stuff.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
You don't want to go lay out in the middle of a field? All the really good duck hunts I've had in my life, I've never been comfortable doing any of them. If you're laying out there and it's nice, the sun's shining on you, and you're not shaking and freezing, you're probably not killing very many ducks. Now, if it's out there, like me and Matt have said 100 times, if you wake up in the morning and you're like, there's no way I'm going outside today.
Yeah.
The wind's blowing 50 miles an hour, it's sleeting, it's snowing, it's 12 degrees, I'm not going outside. That's when us real duck hunters are loading the truck and going, because that's when it's good. These birds are migratory birds. So they on these big cold fronts, like the one that happened, I'm sure I've seen some guys killing some birds up at Four Rivers. Chandler and all them guys was killing some birds, and I know that's where they're at.
Everett killed that big old
sprig pintail.
Oh, yeah.
But they're killing them birds, and they're moving down. Every time you get a big cold front, you get new ducks. It's what we call new ducks, which is the state of Missouri. There's no such thing because these things have been getting shot at since August in Canada. So they've all been hunted, but we're getting ducks new to here.
New to our area.
Yeah. So that's how it works. And then like when we're going on the snow goose hunt, we're fixing to go on a snow. I say fixing here in March. We're hunting the reverse migration. We're hunting all these birds have already went down right now. A lot of the birds are getting down into Arkansas where the crop fields are at. And then they're going to start coming back up. And when they do, that's what we do is we hunt them on their way back up. And we're going to be in March. We're going to Pro Outfitters in Rulo, Nebraska, but we're hunting Missouri, which hopefully we're going to try to work out some turkey hunts with Brad.
Yeah.
He does some Rio turkey Merriam's. Over in Nebraska and me.
What did you say, free turkey hunts?
I didn't say free. I said he does turkey hunts.
I thought.
But we're hoping to get something like that going.
Brad, if you're listening, I thought he said free turkey hunts.
Yeah. Be cool. Sure, it'll be cool.
It'd be a lot cooler if they were.
But we're hoping to get us as many of the OTTV guys we can to go up there and try to shoot some turkeys, but we're going to try to do all kinds of stuff. We've got all these big, crazy plans. We'll probably do half of them, maybe.
Justin, are you going to be in on the turkey hunt deal?
Well, if I have the time.
You just have to make the time.
Yeah.
Well, it all depends. It depends what time of year and you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I went gigging the other night, me and Drakey and Josh Sloan and his dad, Justin Swadley and his little boy. We found us a really good spot, guys. We're going to try to film a TV show on it here coming up. We're going to let it get just a little colder. The water was still kind of murky, but tons of fish in there. Can't tell anybody where it was at, but somewhere over in Conway.
Bennett Springs.
Yeah. Somewhere in that area.
There was trout everywhere.
Yeah. There really was a lot of white bass. We've seen a ton of white bass, which was weird. But
down there at Bennett?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have plum up in there at Bennett?
But they were hybrids.
Yeah, they were hybrids.
Bobby.
But that's what we, you know, we're it, I keep I know a lot of people, the hunting season's like winding down. For me, it's just getting going again because I'm a waterfowl hunter. Like, I'm fixing to just really kick off because I'm going to go kill this big buck I seen the other night, tonight, just like Matt's killing Joker. You know, we're just going to get them deer killed.
Right, quick light.
And then I tell you one thing, though. If some miracle happens and I do kill that buck, I'm going straight duck commander. Like, I'll be hardcore waterfowl hunting. I'm going to try to film some of it, but $1,500 cameras and water, it makes me nervous. I've already lost a GoPro, so it's in Palm de Terre Lake over at the Hermitage Access if anybody wants to try to look for it. I dove for 2.5 hours looking for it, but you can try. It's down there. They're waterproof. I don't know. Probably got some moss on it by now.
I feel like there'd be a time limit on the waterproof.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I'm going to try to, that's my plan. I really want to do some duck hunting, which I always do every year. I've done it since I was a little kid. I'd done it before it was cool. Like now,
it's getting trendy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like people, you know, you get on the TikTok or whatever.
Yeah.
And all these guys, they got their Sitka gear on and, yeah, you know, they're.
And you know what? It's good. We need people hunting, so I can't complain about that. But then you get these guys that just, they don't really know what they're doing. They just buy all this stuff and make it look like they know what they're doing.
And they buy all of it.
Everything. I've seen guys spend money. I've seen guys spend $800 on a coat because it said Sitka. That's no warmer than the real tree coat you can buy at Walmart for $42.
But now, dude, if you talk to those Sitka guys, which we'd have to get one on here, Chandler. I know you're listening.
Baby Austin.
If you're available next week.
Mm-hmm.
Are they warmer?
My dad's got one. He says it's warm.
Well, so's mine.
Well, okay, so here's the deal. Like, that's the problem with the hunting industry nowadays, kind of, too, is it gets trendy real bad. Like, people.
Well, okay, so let's, you know, back up, Terry, put it in reverse. I remember when Drake. If you didn't have Drake stuff, man, you was just, you know, yeah. Well,
that's what
were you even a, you didn't have the, you know, what was it?
The Max 5, man. When the Max 5, Drake, Max 5, or the Max 4 even, you know, when it first come out and Drake had all these, I remember, okay, I bought my first Drake coat when I was about 20 years old. I still got it. I still hunt with it.
Yeah, it's a good coat.
Yeah. It was $300, I think, me and Dad bought them, and they're great. They're waterproof. They're warm. Now, like Matt said, now Drake is just like a...
That back your middle grade. Like, okay, you got Drake, so whatever.
Right.
If you ain't got Sitka, you ain't even serious. If you haven't got
Sitka, you're not even any good at nothing anymore. And it doesn't make a sense to me because, first of all, Sitka just looks like an army pattern camouflage.
Guys, more people has killed deer, turkey, ducks with miscolored camo than anybody.
How many people listening on here have killed deer wearing a flannel t-shirt? Fred Bear bow hunted with a stick and string recurve in a red and black flannel t-shirt. Now, I'm not dogging all these the camouflage. It helps. I mean, it does help. I'm a big Realtree. I like a lot of the guys at Realtree. Mossy Oak is the same thing. It all works. It's just who do you like more as a person in my mind or a product or a company than the camo, because all the camo patterns nowadays, they all look
they're good. All quality.
Yeah, everything. It's just like the bows nowadays. Okay, so you get on here and we give each other crap about shooting different, but they're all good.
Well, who shoots a different bow?
Hey, Matthew Shooter light Sitka wears.
Right.
They gotta have the best of everything.
But my Matthews is 25 years old.
I gotta say, so. Mine's old, but I mean...
No, it ain't that old, but it's old. It's 2005. What is it? 2021.
Last I checked, it was.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do the math. It's that old. But I, you know what? I'm still shooting deer with it, and I like. Okay, so the Z7 was like the last single, the last
solid limb
bow Matthews made, And then when they went to the split limb deal, I was like, man, they're cool. They shot fast.
What was that? Was that the Creed was the first
split limb? It was either the Creed or the Monster. I don't remember. I think it was the Creed. And the Monster and the Creed kind of come out at the same time.
Where'd the Chill come in at?
Right there. They were all three, like, right there. Like, whatever order they come in, maybe, but those three. And then they come up with, like, the no cam. And then they come up with the... Do you have the no cam?
No, I have the Halon.
The Halon. Which I'm sure we're probably missing one in between there.
Oh, we're probably missing four. I don't know. Yeah. But, well, they went from, like, the solid limb stuff.
I really wish they'd go back to the solid limbo. I think if math, anybody, well, is, what about, does Prime still make a solid limbo?
No, Bowtech's the only one I think still does.
Those well, are, I wonder those why aren't they, real bows. I wonder why they got away from that, though. Like, because
well, and then, okay, so what they did was they got away from the solid limb and then the obviously the solo cam. They went to the dual cam crap, if you want my honest opinion.
Yeah. Well, it's for hard speed. To keep them tuned in.
It's all about the speed, man.
Yeah.
And I've still got my old switchback, which I haven't shot it this year. But
best bow Matthews has ever made. I don't care what anybody says. And there's a lot better bows out there probably. But and I'm, the new Matthews bows are amazing. My brother's got a brand new one, and it is awesome.
Yeah.
But as far as a consistent, good shooting bow, the switchback was like...
I mean, I'll be honest. If we're going to go like bow shoot...
You're taking the switchback.
That's what I'm bringing.
Because, okay, so I've had split limb bows and I've had dual cam bows, and I have a hard time keeping them tuned. It seems like after a while, you kind of go in and redo stuff.
And this is kind of back to the your Sitka deal, whatever, you know. There's the guys that think they got to have the new bow every year, the latest and the greatest. So with those guys that get a new bow every 6 months, they probably don't worry about the tuning.
No.
Because I mean, they're not going to shoot it and bang it around like we do.
Yeah.
You know, we take ours from one thing to the next.
Guys, the bolts on the sights on my bow are rusted because I have not loosened them up in that long to change the sights. You know, like, I got all these new, and I'm not, I guess it kind of sounds like we're dogging all this stuff. I'm not. It's amazing. And if I could afford it, I'd probably have it. But
I gotta,
but to try to tell people that's what you got to have to do
you,
this,
you don't got to have it. You don't have to have the latest and greatest bow. You don't have to have the new fancy camouflage.
Okay, you can go to any Bass Pro shop, like the outlet store in Springfield, and they've got both blackout. Josh Sloan has one, and it was a good-looking rig. They're $300, people, and this thing come with everything.
Yep.
You can barely buy a Matthews quiver for that.
Whoa. Them things, when you start working on them blackout bows, pitch it in the garbage. You can't get them right.
Well, okay, I'm not, like, I get that they're probably not the quality.
They're probably not like a Matthews.
If you're going to, yeah, if you're going
to
shoot.
But if you want to, I mean, boys, if I need to break out the old Hoyt Pro Vantage Tracer and show you what I killed my first one with, you know. Well,
look at the bows that our dad's hunting.
Well, me and my boss talking the other day, and I was talking about bow hunting on the ground. He's like, I don't think I've ever bow hunted on the ground, you know. And so I have.
Yeah.
And he's like, what, you have? And I was like, not in a blind, you know, just a little brush blind, or, you know. I said, man, I killed my first deer. All I did was broke some branches off of a cedar tree, slipped up underneath it, and I sat in the edge of a field, and I shot a 6-point buck. I mean, they'd have roasted me on the interwebs nowadays, right?
Right.
I had my Chuck Adams Easton aluminum arrows on that bad boy. I mean, I was like,
yeah,
I was like
decked out.
I was like Fred Bear's like step grandson at this point, right? I mean, I was that good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm talking, these were the old brass sights, you know, the little brass sight with the ball on the end of
it. Yeah.
And you took your mom's fingernail polish,
yeah,
and you touched it up. You know, she was red and blue and white.
Yeah.
Three pins, you know, close, far, and praying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. My dad, that's how my dad had his sights. It was close. Far or close, close, near, or midway, however you said it, and then send it.
Yeah.
He's like, that's a Hail Mary on
right,
that.
Right, yeah. He's a praying. Yeah. And I heart shot that sucker. He went 30 yards, piled up, done. I mean, no.
And nope. I bet you wasn't using a 3-inch expandable broadhead either, would you?
Probably
you know what I was using, the same thing I'm using today.
Yeah.
That old 3-blade Muzzy from Walmart's.
Yeah.
With an S.
Yep.
Walmart's. And you know what? And just having the time of my life, didn't know nothing. I mean, I can remember that hunt like it happened 20 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this little buck, he runs out there in this field, and he's looking back the whole time.
Yeah.
You know a big buck just running. Yeah. He didn't stand a chance, buddy.
Yeah, as soon as his feet hit the ground out there. You know what? I miss that stuff. And that's why I'm excited about me and Matt getting to go do this deer camp this weekend, because it's getting back to – we're not able to film it because it's on a state park. So we're not going to have that stress. And it is stressful. And we were talking about this before we started the podcast. Sometimes you got to take a break from the filming.
You have to go back to your roots and reset. Yeah. No matter what.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to like...
Well, and I think what's going to be nice is seeing a deer...
Shooting it.
And shooting it. You know, now, when I see a buck, the kind of the way that things have evolved for us or whatever is, when I see a deer, I'm like, which one is that? Oh, that's that.
Yeah.
You know, that's that 3.5-year-old with that one, you know, he's got that one short three over there or whatever. You know, like...
That ain't going to be the case. If we get them two nose kills, if he walks out there and I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, boom! Because if he's got 4 points on, because there we go with that crap again. They putting all these regular, you know, what's the 4-point restriction going
to
do?
They're trying to keep a hillbilly down, man. Stop holding us back.
Well, I don't get it. Like, you're not managing these deer to get them bigger on this place. That's not the.
Yeah, if they're over browsing and then he killed, let us kill them.
Who cares what the headgear looks like on them or if they got a sack or don't? Like, I don't get why we even worry about it. It just.
There's 6 of us?
Mm-hmm.
Carry the one. We can kill a bunch of deer, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm excited. Hopefully we can at least get some really cool pictures for the Ozark Traditions deal.
I mean, I don't know. I think
it's going to be a lot of fun. We're taking my camper, like I said, but
I want to have so many we can't put them all in the back of one truck.
Yeah. Just stacking them. And that's what's cool. That's what I'm excited about is, like Matt said, we're not worried about what they look like, what the size is. We're going down there to shoot deer.
Yep.
So, taking the lever action 30-30. Matt's taking the... What are you taking?
I'm going to take the old Model 70.
Yeah, the old Ott 6. I know my dad's taking the Winchester 30-30.
Which, I mean, I ain't just bringing one gun. I've been there before.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I'll probably bring a 30-30 too.
I'm just bringing mine because it's easy to pack. Holds lots of bullets. And it shoots. Drakey killed his doe with it this year. And I mean, smoked her. I've doubted it for long range, okay, because I hunt a lot of big open fields just like you. And I'm always like, man, I gotta get a 243 or something for Drake because if he has to shoot 150 yards, man, that 30-30 shoot 200 yards all day long.
Yeah.
And my grandpa is a gunsmith. He doesn't really do it much anymore. And I got to talking with him about it. And he's like, son, he said, I can load you a bullet to shoot 350 yards out at 30-30 if you want one.
Right.
He said, you just got to know how to shoot it. You know, them gun, that's a rifle, boy. That's not a, you know, it'll shoot that far.
Yeah.
Now, like my big gun, I got a 375. Now that gun, me and Matt done some paper working on it. At 300 yards, it dropped like 7 inches or something like that.
No, it dropped like 30 inches. Yeah, it's a 364 grain bullet.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of lead. It dropped something stupid because they said if you decided it in dead on at 200, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would drop 30 inches at 300. You can't shoot 300 yards with that gun. I'm just saying.
I mean, you can do it, but boy,
the deer's not going to get a scope. Like, you're just
going to be pointing at the moon.
Right. That's what it is.
But, but this thing, at 150 yards, I shot that buck this year, I'd say 100 yards, 125 yards that I killed, and center punched him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe he run off. I hit him too far back. I hit him actually behind the shoulder, and I should have shoulder shot him. It blew my mind. I've never had a deer run off from that gun, and when that deer ran off, I mean, when you guys go back, when you'll see it next year on the... season 9, I thought I missed. I'm like, I apologize, guys. I think I missed that deer, you know? And then I go back and me and Matt watch the footage, and I smoked him. I mean, it was right behind the shoulder, which he didn't go very far. But I did. The way that whole deal went down, I didn't have a clue where he ran, obviously, because he didn't go nowhere near where we went and started looking.
No.
Not even close. That's the thing about self-filming, too, is... After you shoot, you got so much stuff to do and try to keep your bearings about you at the same time and try to get your reaction the best you can. So
right.
That
it's tough.
It's best when you're self-filming if you've got two or three GoPros around you. So
yeah. Which is what I try to do. You know, I got two GoPros, which like me and Matt, we probably take them with us deer hunting just to have them. But you want to try to catch every, if you're going to self film, you got to have all kinds of different, if you're even not self filming, we try to run all kinds of cameras for different angles.
Well, the thing is when you're self filming or not self filming with a GoPro, the time you get back to your main camera, your excitement's already settled a little bit. You know, that GoPro is going to get you where you're all jacked up still and everything else.
Well, and that's what people want to see is your real reaction. Because if you watch some of these shows nowadays, people, these guys fake it till they make it.
I tell you what, Isaac, I can't wait till you guys get to watch his deer hunt.
Yeah.
His first deer. He scared the crap out of me. Because as soon as he shoots this doe, I mean, she goes straight down. She dropped in her tracks. And his reaction to that, he was genuinely jacked out of his mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, bam, straight down. I mean, just screamed it in the blind. And I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah, whoa, what's going on over here, you know?
That's awesome.
Because he was, you know, everything was obviously dead calm until he shot. And then he was jacked up.
Yeah. That's good. And that's what we want to try. Like us at Ozark Traditions, we don't fake anything.
Right. If you see it, and like, I mean, that's how it went down.
Well, and some of our stuff's not always great. I mean, I don't know if you've watched any of me and Matt's rifle hunts. Well,
I can promise you some of our stuff isn't that great.
But we keep it real, though. Like, we could have went back and refilmed a lot of that and made it.
But that ain't
how it went down. And I think people respect anybody that really, most of your people watching these TV shows and the YouTube stuff, they want to see, like.
Well, and I'm going to just throw this out there for everybody. Whenever I watch other shows, I know when you're faking.
Right. Now that we all do this stuff a lot, it's easy for all of us to see when they're faking. Because you're like if you're just watching a TV show, you're going to be like, oh, okay, you just don't think of it. And then we watch it and we're like, how did he do that?
And then this.
And then all of a sudden it's like this, you know?
Yeah. You know, this fall deer season, I'll be honest with you. When I shot my little buck, I had no emotion at all. I didn't even feel like having emotion. I was so sick. So.
I had to kind of talk myself into shooting mine for some reason. Because when he first come out, I was like, no, I ain't gonna shoot him. And you guys will see all this.
Yeah, hey, I tell you what, Justin, this year he couldn't even yell at his cameraman.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Wasn't even the camera guy's fault. The 2 years in a row now, and I don't want to say like excuses. I'm more than happy to shoot both of these deer. I'm not disappointed. I'm not nothing. But was it the deer that I thought they were? No, neither one of them.
But I don't know.
But what, me and Matt talked about this on the ride over here. You passing all these deer up and stuff to think you're going to kill a big giant buck. If you don't have big giant bucks to hunt,
you ain't going to kill a big giant buck.
You're not
going to
kill a big giant buck. Like tonight, them two bucks I seen tonight, I think the biggest one is probably 135 inches. Big, I mean, beautiful buck. I'm jacked up. I'm going to do all I can to kill this deer. Is there bigger deer out there? Hell yeah. There's a 10-pointer out there, boys. I'm talking, will probably be the biggest buck I could ever kill if some miracle happened.
Right.
Well, see, our property don't house big bucks from like the end of October to the middle of December. All we got is little 2.5, 3-year-olds.
Yeah.
I don't believe in half years in deer. I don't know why I just said that. But 2 and 3-year-olds and maybe some small 4-year-olds. So I just shoot whatever walks across.
Yeah.
Half the time.
Yeah. But like, it's... The hunting industry's made it to where if you don't shoot a big giant buck, you're not cool.
Right.
That's not for me.
It ain't the Sitka.
Yeah. It's not for me. The story is more than, like, now that we're filming all this stuff, I think people would rather have a really good story on a smaller buck than sitting in a box blind corn pile 180 inch. People get tired. Or big bean field. People get tired of that. They don't like watching that.
And I bet Matt, if he don't go out and kill a big old monster archery buck this year, he's going to be just as happy with his son's kill than he is any other kill the rest of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Me and Matt both have already. My little boy killed his first deer this year, guys. I don't care if I shoot another deer this year. It was the best year I've had deer hunting.
Yeah.
My little boy's got to kill two deer this year. Now, none of them were bucks, but whatever. He didn't want to wait for bucks. So I've already had, me and Matt both have already had great years.
And for me, I got to take a kid that wouldn't go hunting, didn't want to hunt. And me and TJ took him. He killed his big goblin in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Now he shot his first deer this fall. I mean, I couldn't ask for more. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's excited.
Well, and now he wants to hunt. And that's what we need. We need more people that, well, I know a lot of guys are like, I don't need all these people hunting. Yeah, you do. If they're not hunting, we're not going to have this stuff anymore. That's what pays for all this. That's how this keeps going. If people stop hunting, it's just going to wither away. It's going to be gone.
Right.
Yeah. See, I took two kids out this year. They both killed an 8-point, one killed a 9-point.
I know it's crazy for us.
They're hooked.
It's crazy for us to think this because everybody we know hunts. There's not near as many people hunting anymore that there used to be.
Right.
You go and talk to a lot of kids, even in like high school kids and stuff. They don't. My dad never really took me. I don't really care.
Right.
Which, okay, so it's not for everybody. I get that. I'm not making anybody go. If you don't want to kill an animal, fine. That's fine. You know, but, maybe there's a kid out there that does want to try it, but wouldn't have that. See, that's something I would love to do. If I ever owned or leased a property big enough, if this farm I'm hunting, I could get it all to myself somehow, I would be more than happy to take somebody, find a kid somewhere whose parents can't afford to take them or don't have anywhere to take them, and let them come out there and shoot a deer. I think that would be awesome. Or maybe not even a kid. Grown people.
Right. Know?
There's a lot of grown men out there that would love to try to kill a deer. Just nobody's ever, they don't even know where to start, you know? And for me, like me and Matt, we take a lot of people snagging every year. And the coolest ones that we do are the people who's never done it before.
Yeah. 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 For me, that's definitely my favorite. You know, they may not catch the biggest fish we catch that year or whatever, but.
Yeah, but they'll have the time of their life because just seeing one. Like some of the people just, you get some of these people we've took and they're like, I just want to see one. And I'm like, well, hopefully we're going to see about 4 or 5 of them today, but yeah.
Right.
And you'll catch that first fish and it's just as exciting for me and Matt, and we've caught 900 of these things.
Right.
To see them. You know, and my favorite part is when they pick the pole up for the very first time and realize just how much power these things have. And they're like, oh my God, this thing's going to be 100 pounds. And you get it up there and it's barely a keeper.
Well, I always go back to Donna's.
Donna's first. Oh my gosh. Donna Ray, that woman, I swear.
Phenomenal client, great people. And we have the privilege of taking them every year. And her first one she caught, she's like, it's a monster. It's an absolute monster.
Yeah.
Like, awesome. Get it up here. You know, let's look at it. Well, it wasn't a keeper.
Well, we had to throw it back.
So she's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? We're like, well, it's not big enough. We got to throw it back. She's like, shut up. I'm like, what? She's like, that thing's a monster.
She like, said it's 3.5 foot long. I was like, yeah,
it's big, but just not big enough. You know, she's like, what do you mean not big enough? You know, she just couldn't get over the fact that a fish that big wasn't a keeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't understand that. You guys are out there snagging these paddlefish. And you just say you snag one in the gut. It's going to die anyways. Why would the legend keep
you know what,
it?
You know, can you know what?
She just
you know what,
opened
Justin?
Right there.
Yeah, I'm going to get on one now. I've got that same question. So the way it's explained to us dumb hillbillies that have done it our whole life is that if we catch a fish that is not keeper length, we snag it. You can return it back to the water, no matter how it's hooked, okay?
And it'll be fine.
If I rip half of its guts out and I put it back in the water, it's going to be okay. It's fine. Now, if I catch one.
And it's a quarter inch over the size limit.
Right. I have to keep it because if I were to return it back to the water, because of the injury sustained from me catching it, it could not make it. Now, wait a minute. That's your good folks, the MDC. I'm not as smart as they are, so I just go by what they tell me.
It just doesn't.
But it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It really doesn't. I think, and other places in the country, it's this way. I think the first two fish you catch should be the fish you have to keep.
You're just done.
But, and you cannot snag without the intention.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand. You cannot go out there and catch a keeper size fish and not keep it.
Right.
It is against the law. And right. They clarified that in the past couple of years. Because me and Matt was talking to some guys at the boat ramp that boated 19 fish one day.
Yeah, like, yeah, we boated 19 today. And I'm looking at TJ and I'm like, what do you mean boated 19 fish? They caught 19. They caught that mean that we're short? Well, they were just catching them.
They were just letting them go.
And I'm like, wait a minute. That's what, for one, that's illegal.
Right. Which they did not know that or didn't care.
I just think they didn't care. I don't know. I'm going to say they didn't know. That'd sound better.
Well, because, I mean, you wouldn't be telling people.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, like, the MDC made it very clear that if you catch a fish that is keeper size, you have to keep it.
Yep.
Have to keep it. The rules with the paddlefish is a little different.
They
sound stupid.
They are
very.
They need to let me write the rules and everybody to understand them. They'd be simple.
Well, that's the problem is why not
just
make things
just for common folk, you know.
We all love the...
What color crayon you want?
Right. Give me a green. That's my favorite color.
Well, here's the deal. We all appreciate and respect the Missouri Department of Conservation.
Yeah.
The things they do sometimes is just ignorant. Like, what was wrong? Answer me this. What was wrong with the little... paper tag, the little yellow tags we all got and put on our deer.
It cost them money.
Yeah, but you didn't have to worry about, oh, I don't have service. I can't check this deer in. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, I don't know how many people I've talked to who has got a ticket because they didn't have cell phone service on their phone to pull their license up.
Yeah. But if you look on your app, and I'll advocate for this, that app is the coolest thing they've ever come up with. If you look on your app, it says by 10 p.m. That night, you have to have it checked in.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got plenty of time to get service.
Right. Well, right. Here's my deal, though.
Well, but what
I've literally been pulled over, or not me, but I ain't going to say their name. Somebody I know
has been
stopped by the game warden and could not get service on his phone. And he wrote him a ticket because he could not prove to him that he had his license.
Right. So it wasn't
at that point in time. It wasn't a deer tag. It was a duck stamp or something.
Turkey.
That's what it was. A turkey tag. And so, because he didn't have his phone and could not show him, he wrote him a ticket for it.
I screenshot all mine.
Well, I screenshot mine. And I tell you what, we run into a little deal. On our duck stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And TJ's dad is with us. And he's like, I need to see all your guys' stuff. Well, me and TJ were digging his cell phones out, you know. And I think your phone was dead, but I had all your stuff on my phone.
On your phone, yeah.
Because we've got both of our information. We have both of...
It's saved in the app. That way...
Right. We have each other's information. That way, you know, if he loses his phone or it goes dead, whatever, you can't pull it up. So TJ couldn't pull his stuff up. And so I had it on my phone, which was no big deal. We were good. And TJ's dad was like, he pulled out the old paper.
He had a Ziploc bag full of paper.
Yeah, pulled it out of his wallet, and he's like, here you go. And he was done in 2 seconds. And that game warden's like, man, that's the way to do it right there. I'm just here to tell you guys.
Well, I mean, and that's where I'm going back to, what the heck was wrong with the little paper tags? Like, it was so much easier, man. It was just, you just handed it to him. Yep, you're good.
Yep. Like that guy, I tell you what, I wish we'd had a stopwatch for that guy at Stockton when we got checked dove hunting.
Yeah.
He checked us for steel shot, plugs in our shotguns.
And our tags.
I mean, 40 seconds.
He was on to the next one. Well, I think they had somebody caught.
And they thought it was us.
Because we were hunting 50 yards from each other on this dove hunt. And he came up through there and he thought it was us. And then I think once he got there, he realized the description didn't fit us.
I guess.
But he was already there, and he's got to check you.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right. And then he goes, have you guys heard any more shit? Oh, yeah, right up there. Okay. Shoo.
Yeah, he was out of there. I think it was somebody with hammering them without a plug in their gun or something.
Oh, no, it definitely was.
But
this guy, it was either three guys with automatic shotguns, semi-automatic shotguns, or one guy was just cranking them. Because, I mean, it was impressive.
If he was reloading.
He may have had one of them 100-round drums.
Sega. Them things are cool.
He had a 6-round drum. I can tell you that because he'd shoot 6 times in a row every time.
Have you shot a shotgun with one of them 100-round drums?
No, but I want one because so we do that. We do that. What do they call it? The light goose.
The
conservation order.
The conservation thing. Order. So there's the deal with that. The snow geese are like feral hogs. They've gotten overpopulated, and there's really nothing we can do about it. But we can try.
And they're destroying the tundra.
Everything. The tundra up there is terrible. Plus, they destroy a lot of crops down in Arkansas.
Which I just got to take their word for that because I've never been to Canada. But they're saying they're destroying it.
They're bad. Well, I mean, look how many of them we see.
Oh, yeah.
We'll sit in that blind, guys, and I'm not exaggerating, and see million dirt birds a day. And I'm not even joking. Like, no problem. Like, Squaw Creek, there's been a couple times there have been 1.5 million, 2 million birds sitting on it at one time. So what they do is the duck season ends January 31st. All the waterfowl season ends right then. As soon as that's over, they start the conservation order, which means no plugs in your shotgun. You can put extended tubes. If you want to shoot one of them 100-round drum thing, you got to use steel shot. Basically, you can't hunt at night, and you got to use steel shot, and you have to use a shotgun. That's the rules.
Yeah.
You can jump
shoot. Here in Missouri?
Yeah. You can jump shoot them things. You can shoot them out of a ditch. It doesn't matter. You can use electronic calls. You can use everything but a spotlight and a rifle.
Yeah.
When we going? That's my kind of hunting.
We're going March for 3 days.
12th.
It's got to be like 13th, right before we're getting home, and then we're going straight to snagging. It's going to be.
Yeah, we're
going
to go from Nebraska shooting snow geese to in the boat.
In the boat, putting in, which I'm, you know, we love it. Me and Matt, we've always been snagging. We live right here close to, well, sometimes it's close to where we snag. Sometimes it's not.
Sometimes it's really, really far away. Like right. You don't even know where we're at.
Yeah. But, we like to do that stuff. Anybody listening, if you are interested in doing any kind of the paddlefish stuff, get on Ozark Traditions TV Facebook page and message it, and me and Matt will get with you. You don't necessarily have to do it with us. I'm not saying that, but if you want to get kind of...
Yeah, we can hook you up with a guide.
We know,
I mean, we'll probably be booked because, I mean, we're like the rock stars of it. Let's be honest. I mean,
we've given away 3 trips this year already, so...
We're like a non-for-profit
organization. Yeah.
Hey, you did leave a date open for us, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. We're going to have... Okay. We got the prime date, you see. When me and Matt get to catch fish, we'll make sure it's a good one.
Yeah.
Because this is the thing. We get to do all this fishing every year, and we catch 3 fish a year.
Yeah, people are like, man, you guys catch a lot of these, don't you? And we're like, well, we don't really. I mean,
we do, but we don't. So a couple times this year, actually some of our better days, like it takes me and Matt longer to drive to the spot than it did to catch our limit that one day. I mean, we got all the way down there, and by 8:30, we're headed back to the boat ramp.
Yeah.
And these guys were putting their boat in, like, oh, there ain't no fish up here. I'm like, oh, yeah, we caught some. And they're like, whoa, what time did you get out here? Like, midnight? I was like, no, about 6:30, 7. And you're already done? Yeah. They just look at you like you're crazy. But, man, that's the thing about them. They're schooling fish. When you get in them, you're in them. You can catch them.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a while to find them. We've had both kinds of trips.
Know, sometimes I do tricky stuff. And
we've had trips where we caught our first fish, what do you say,
5 minutes. We had our first, from the time we picked them up off the dock, we loaded the first fish onto the boat.
5 minutes in.
5 minutes.
And then we've had some where we didn't catch a fish for 1.5 hours.
Yeah.
We had our last trip of the year, we fished all day long, and I'm telling you guys.
Well, it was like 4 hours, but it felt like all day.
It was brutal. It was the longest trip we've ever had, and like Matt said, it was like 4 hours, but it felt like 12.
Yeah.
Because the wind was blowing. We turkey hunted that morning.
That's why it was like it was.
Oh, and the turkey hunting was phenomenal. You shot that Jake.
I shot a Jake.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, that's... I shot terrible. A Jake.
And we've never fished in that part of the day. And by the time we got there, all the guides and the people, they just had...
They'd hammered it.
Oh, they had the fish scattered everywhere. Like used to, like I said, they're schooling fish, so you'd find pods of them. There'd be 7, 8, 9, 10 of them in a group, and you'd catch them. That day, we find one fish.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to snag one fish?
Yeah.
In a lake in 80 foot of water? Not easy.
It's easy. Everybody should be a guide.
So, yeah. But, you know, we always have a good time doing it. So, yeah, we definitely left us a day. We're going to take Justin and Matt, film a show. It'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
We're gonna try, like I said earlier, we're really trying to kind of mix things up and spice things up with the TV show, get things cool.
Do some different stuff.
We haven't filmed the Giggins show in a little while, so we're going to try to do that. We're going to do snow hunting, snow goose and stuff.
If anybody's listening to the podcast and they have any idea that they want to see us do something, let us know. We'll try to make it happen.
Yeah, and here's the deal. If you're listening to this
podcast, like if you want to see us do like a hog hunt in Texas anything. Or something cool like that, you know, let us know.
And if we're like doing anything that is annoying you or that is wrong or we could do better at, let us know that too. We're only going to get better if we know what we're doing wrong. That's what I feel like. If you're already doing something good, that's fine, but you need to figure out, to get better, you got to figure out what you're doing wrong. And I think that's what we need to work on doing. Like, when we first started this podcast, guys, we was doing it on our cell phones in our bedrooms at our house, and it was terrible. Like, you go back and listen to the first couple ones, the audio was just no good.
Well,
and the host was horrible.
Oh, yeah. You better be glad you don't live down here, because you'd still be doing it. But, you know, and then Matt brings us this big contraption thing we got here, and we're not good at it.
We got the soundboard. We got our new Heil microphones.
All kinds of stuff.
Headphones.
And we were talking about this, too. I don't know a lot of people that's listening know this. I'm sure most of you do. We used to do a lot of Facebook Live videos and stuff, and we were talking about this. We're gonna get back going on that. We kind of quit doing it. Matt and Todd were always the hosts of the Facebook Live videos, but now that everything, some things have changed and all that, so it's probably going to be me and Matt. And then we talked about doing the Instagram Live, where we can bring Justin in on it. So we're going to, here in the near future, as quick as we can get it going.
We're going to run some test runs.
Yeah, we like to interact with you guys. I like the whole Facebook Live because people can talk back to you. Like, these podcasts are great, and I love doing them. It's fun. But we can't interact with the people listening.
Yeah, I don't know if you think my jokes are funny or not. You know, that's right. The deal. Like,
you know, like tonight we finally got Justin on here with the FaceTime, and we can see his face. We ain't seen him since.
Right, we've been missing him.
The bow shoot.
Oh, yeah. Conway?
Yeah, when we first met him.
Yeah.
So
it was back in June or July or something like that, wasn't it?
I mean, I feel like I know Justin really well, and I've only met him once in person. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
But, you know, that's how it works. I mean, he's on the road all the time, and me and Matt luckily live right here close. I mean, I picked him up. We drove over here. We got a little spot to do this stuff. So we're going to try to really start doing more for you guys. And then, like, the filming thing. Like Matt said, we're going to do different things. We're doing a snow goose hunt this year. Hopefully going to do some Merriam turkey hunting. That'll be awesome. Right. Snagging shows.
We're going to try to get the gigging kind of back on the show.
Yep. I got a spot figured out. Josh Sloan, he's got the equipment to do it. His dad, they've got everything, guys. It's amazing.
I also think we're going to do a few more Ozark Traditions TV, Facebook, just out of the blue lives, you know, like short 5 or 6 second clips or whatever.
Yeah, just whenever, if somebody's out doing something, we're going to try to, we just want to keep interacting with you guys. We want to get this thing good. We want to make this thing grow. So anybody listening, if you have any, and I'm serious, any ideas, any input, just message us on Facebook and let us know, because that's how we're going to get better at this. I mean, that's our main goal, is to take this show and go as far as we can go with it, wherever that may take us. If it's just going to be YouTube, fine, but we want to be good at it. If one day it decides it's going to go more than that, we'll go as far as it'll let us go. So, you know, none of us are professional hunters, which that's stupid. Jay Gregory said that he hates being called a professional hunter. He said there's no such thing. And, you know, we don't kill giant deer. Some of us get lucky, like James and them guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then that's where, like, geographically, we're not
hunting. Right, me and Matt Justin.
There's not a crop field within 40 miles, 50 miles.
Unless clover is a crop, we don't have crop fields here.
Right.
you know, and you say that like there's not big deer, big deer here, guys, but we got giant timber and they can just get away and hide. I mean, you, there's deer here that'll scare you to death. I'm sure of it, but you're just never going to see them.
If we shoot a 110 inch buck, we are loving it.
Oh yeah. That's what I shot with my rifle. If he'd even go that, but I was happy, happy, happy. Like tonight I seen that deer and I think he's, I'm guessing him 135 inches. Guys, if I kill that deer, I'm gonna be ecstatic. Especially if I can do it on film. See, that's something else. We're doing all this stuff on the TV show. So anything we can capture and get good footage, like me and Matt both got great footage of our rifle bucks this year, which is a step up for us because last year our rifle footage was no good.
Yeah, it was no bueno.
I did too because, see, I caught mine jumping over the fence chasing the doe and tailing her all the way up.
Yeah. So that's to us, that's what's better than killing a giant buck is,
yeah, getting that quality footage.
Putting a good show together.
Yeah.
You're gonna see a 2 or 3 hour hunt in about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, hey, this is Matt and Todd started this thing, and it's going into its 9th season now. We've had some guys come and go, and we've had some new people. Me and Matt have only been doing this a couple years now. Justin come in last year. So we're new to it, but me and Matt have kind of
dabbled.
You know, we're getting better at it. We're not good at it. We're getting better at it.
Right.
So, and we're doing more. Like, we're doing the podcast, which I love doing it. I'm hoping you guys all like it. We're just, you know, we're trying to do this thing and get it going and not for any benefit other than we like, this is what we like to do anyway, so we're trying to bring it to you guys. It's obviously not nothing to do with money because we don't make a dime at this. We,
right.
If anything, just spend money doing it. So, but it's more of just and it's cool for us even to go back. Like I said, my little boy killed his first deer this year. It's filmed. I'll always have that. Isaac's deer, you'll always have that. Like me and Matt, we can tell a story about our first deer.
Right.
Drake and Isaac, we can show people.
Right.
Now, kickback on this filming deal is you can't BS nobody anymore about your deer. Right.
There it is.
Yeah. You can't like it or well, not. You know, there was just the birds and the dogs is barking in the background and I missed. I mean, everybody last year, anybody that watched season 8, you seen me miss that big buck. At 23 yards. I had no excuse. I just missed.
It just happened. It's life.
And I remember Matt, he calls me. He's like, hey, do you want me to? I was like, yeah, that's how it goes, man. I mean, if anybody tells you they bow hunt and ain't never missed a deer, they're lying to you.
But if they ain't ever
missed
one. I've
missed 4 times this year.
Yeah. I've missed once this year. But I haven't really had the opportunity to shoot at a lot of deer. Or I have, I guess. I've shot 2 does this year with my bow. And I missed a doe with my bow, but the one I missed was just, I shouldn't even have tried to shoot it. But, you know, last year I had a couple mishaps. It was my first year really filming, self-filming. I didn't have very good equipment. You don't realize how handy this stuff is until you get the good stuff.
Right.
You don't know what you didn't have until you try something.
Well, I mean, I look back at some of the stuff we did.
Oh, starting off. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Boy, I'm talking.
The camera arm. I got to show you guys the camera arm.
The old PVC pipe camera arm we had. I'm talking some quality stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
But we had a little Facebook page called 573 Fight Canceled, which I don't really know.
Is it still up?
Yeah, it's still there. I have never put nothing on it in 100 years, but.
I still get notifications like,
yeah,
we got 9 new likes this week. I'm like, what are these people liking? We ain't posting nothing on here in 3 years.
You know what? But it was just like we and Matt would go out. We film a little stuff. It was never any good.
But you know what? That's what got us here.
Oh, well, that's what got me introduced to Matt and Todd was they stumbled upon this little Facebook page we had and seen we were killing a bunch of stuff and they was like, hey,
these guys is good.
Well, actually, I got to watching their Facebook live and I was commenting on there and they asked me if I'd be interested in coming down and talking to them on that. I was like, yeah, sure. And I went down there and when we got done with the Facebook live, I got talking with them And they're like, man, would you guys ever be interested in trying to film that stuff? I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, we kind of tried now and then, but we don't have. So that next year, you bought a camera. And me and Matt, we just filmed what we could film. Luckily, my wife is a photographer, and she had another DSLR camera, so that's what I used. We filmed a couple turkey hunt. I think we got a turkey hunt.
Yeah, I think the first thing we filmed snagging. Was snagging.
We done the snagging thing, and I had a turkey hunt that year. I don't think we had any deer hunts.
You know what? I'm going back, not to toot our own horn, but I mean.
The snagging one wasn't bad.
Matt made us look good on that deal.
Do you guys have a YouTube channel?
No.
Or have had?
No.
You didn't do that?
No.
I started with my own YouTube channel, so that's what I did.
Yeah. We never graduated. Well, we literally did not have a camera until we got hooked up with Matt and Todd.
Well, I mean, we had my old camera.
Well, yeah, we had the old handy cam.
Right. Which, I mean, you know, some TV shows, that's all they use. But,
sometimes they're cell phones.
But, I mean, we filmed some stuff, and I don't know. We put a couple things on the old flight cancel page or whatever, but nothing. We didn't get serious. What we were filming and doing wasn't ever like to be on TV.
No.
That wasn't what our intention or our goal was. It was just kind of an outdoor page, and we just kind of shared what we were doing with other people. And then.
And you know what? We got a lot of interaction with that deal.
Yeah.
You know, we had quite a few people, you know, and most of them were from around here, but we had some other people. We took a couple, Sammy Bryant and his boy. They won. We give away a snagging trip one year, and they won that, and we took them and caught a banded fish. And
yeah, it was really neat.
And then, like, we're still friends with Sam on Facebook. He owns a deer farm. He's a great, awesome guy. He was a lot of fun. But then it just turned into this deal. And now, you know, we're trying to do the best we can to get this thing to really go. So that's the plan. Like I said, we're going to start up the Facebook Lives and the stuff like that. We're going to get it all figured out so we can start interacting with all you people. So anybody listening, if you haven't went to the Facebook and Ozark Traditions TV Facebook page and liked it, you need to do that now. If you want to listen or see us do the Facebook Lives, be sure and do that. That way you can get notified when we do start doing that stuff, and you can kind of put a face to the voice, or however you want to do it. If you haven't watched the TV show, go to YouTube, you know, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Ozark Traditions TV. You can go all the way back to when
they first started it. Matt's been uploading stuff.
Yeah. A lot of
all
stuff.
All their stuff's on
there.
And
then there's a lot of the newer stuff on here.
I've really enjoyed the, There I Was.
Yeah. And I think we should do, we're going to try to start doing those again. Anybody listening that was a fan of the show from that time, you know, we kind of quit doing that. Now I think we want to that was kind of a neat deal to talk about. So,
and if you're looking for me to be on any of the past TV shows, I'm up there.
You'll be there in the season 9. So, it's coming up, season 9. Hopefully we can.
I got on the intro at season 8, but I could have made the show, but everything that I had has already been used, and I had to go in and voice over stuff, and it just wouldn't work.
Yeah. Well, that's all right, though. Like,
Well, they'll get to see you in action soon enough.
Yeah. Even if you do, if it's just with us, at least you'd be on there. We're going to take you fishing, buddy, I promise.
It's probably going to be my 250-inch buck I missed first of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said 250-pound or 250-inch.
I didn't think they got that long. 250 inches is pretty long.
Did I say 250? I meant 125 maybe.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well,
I was Facebook scoring it.
The worst thing that anybody ever did was start scoring deer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, yeah, it's cool and all that, and we like to know the score, but it just. We was way better off before that was ever a thing. And it wasn't that long ago. Like, I know they've always been scoring deer, but it wasn't like a cool thing until, because I can remember being in high school before social media stuff. Nobody cared. If you shot a buck, you had a picture of, oh, that's a good buck.
Eight pointer, you know, or whatever. Yeah,
it wasn't, oh, what'd he score?
Yeah.
oh, you should have given him another year. There was none of that. And now,
that's just like I said earlier. I can't stand when somebody ages a deer in half years, because there is no such thing as half years in deer, because we don't know when that deer was born.
We don't. It's all just a guess. Unless you own a deer farm and seen the deer drop and watched. I mean, you don't know how old they are. You're just estimating that stuff. Who cares?
That's what I'm there you are.
I mean, just throw her. Who cares?
Did you score your buck this year?
Mm-mm. Forgot all about it.
Me either.
I didn't eat it.
I didn't even score it. I got to think about that the other day. That last, what I would call a big buck that I killed.
Double wide?
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think we ever scored that deer.
No, who cares?
He'd be about like that, you know.
Yeah.
Eat good.
Whatever.
I've got two hanging on the wall I've never scored.
I've scored one of my bucks, and it was my biggest buck. Me and Matt scored it. And that was it.
Unofficially.
Now.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wants to bring me in on a big fancy hunt, I'll score that deer.
Yeah. I could care less about the score, to be honest. It just, did you have a good time? Was it a lot of fun? And for us, did you get good footage? I mean, that's our deal. So, anyways, well, guys, we're going on about an hour here, so I think we're going to wrap this thing up, and next week, maybe we'll have us a guest. We're going to try to get team member James Edwards on here and have him talk a little bit. Try to get you guys introduced to the rest of it. It's not just the three of us.
Yeah, believe it or not.
There's more of us in this deal, so we're going to try to get them guys on here and talk.
I got one more question.
Go ahead.
Where's mine at?
We'll get it to you, buddy.
Yeah.
But, all right, guys. Well, like I said, we appreciate everybody that listened. If you haven't, go to the Facebook page and like that. Go to the YouTube channel, like that. We love all the support. We want you guys to be knowing what's going on. I'm trying to stay up and keep something every day on there. So, we're going to start doing the Facebook Live stuff again so we can interact with everybody. But, go be sure if you all the podcasts, most of the podcast apps areas, you can go on there and listen to us. So, any input, bad or good, give it to us on the Facebook. We don't care. We need to know. We're not against criticism. I think that's the problem with people nowadays is
a little too thin skinned.
Yeah, they can't handle it when you tell them you don't agree with them, and we're not like that. So.
And if you see us around and you want us to come on your podcast or do a show or whatever, just hit us up. We'll come do it. We ain't scared.
Nope. Just talk to us. So, but all right, guys, until next time, this is TJ, Matt, and Justin from Ozark Traditions TV. We'll talk at you later.
Ozark Traditions TV would like to thank you for joining in to this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in on our next weekly podcast as we bring the outdoors inside. From all of us at Ozark Traditions TV, we thank you for listening. And remember, if you see us out in God's country, stop us. We'd like to meet you. Traditions in the great outdoors.